Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Just Keep Writing,
a podcast for writers by writers to keep you writing.
I'm Marshall.
And I'm Nick.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, good, good. How are you, my friend?
Week 6, man. I'm excited about this.
We made it this far. Like,
right?
Never thought I'd have a podcast for starters, let alone we've got like 70 listeners in an episode, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. And the more the merrier. And we can always talk about that at any time. But yeah, definitely thanks to everybody who has been sharing us and liking us and telling their friends. We really appreciate that. And I think at the top of the show, we should talk about any announcements, housekeeping things or whatever, and conferences we're going to or hear it about. But let's not forget, I want to talk about the Discord channel a little bit.
Yeah, Discord always popping.
Exactly.
We actually have a new channel, and that new channel is called Am Writing. So if you'd like to go on there and share what you're currently working on, like so many others already have, go on there and share, comment, talk about it, get some advice.
Yeah, and it's a cool channel, man. It's a spot where folks can just throw out what they're working on or pieces of what they're working on and get feedback, and it's kind of fun. So if that's something, if you're a little nervous to do that, that's cool. I personally haven't put any prose from what I've written, but at the same time, I am talking about what I'm writing sort of, or how I'm doing it at least. There was a conversation about pantsing going on in there, right?
Oh,
pantsing versus cool. Plotting, right?
I mean, that's a whole episode and a half on its own, but yes. Kind of just the difference between what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And we had a conversation about being a little bit of both and trying to figure it out that way.
Right.
Which you and I both are.
Yeah. I like to think I'm a happy hybrid. Right. That's a pretty good one. I like
that. Hey, I'm liking it. What if there's a better name out there?
There might be. But as of right now, happy hybrid is the name of the show. So,
Pantliner.
Did you say pantliner?
Pantliner.
Oh, pantliner. Oh, okay.
Or outster. Take your pick.
I don't know anymore. Okay.
This is why I get paid the big buck, guys.
I'll agree. You're the idea man, dude. all right, man. So let's real quick before we get too deep, conference stuff. Let's talk about that because a couple things have popped up. I know you have MoCon, you have
Futurescapes.
Futurescapes coming up. And we talked about San Diego Comic-Con last week. How's that going as far as you put an event up after we recorded last week for San Diego Comic-Con?
So in case no one noticed or everyone noticed, we're doing a writing session at San Diego Comic-Con. So this is going to be comprised of getting together, hanging out, doing some writing, or like kind of workshopping some stuff with you guys and then doing some BarCon.
Yeah.
So come out, come hang out, come stay with us for a few hours, eat a little bit of our food, get some drink, and just get to know each other and stuff like that. So it should be a good turnout. I'm excited for it. Yeah. And if you're an introvert, don't worry about going to BarCon if you don't want to.
Yeah. And what Nick is saying, and we've talked about BarCon before, but what Nick is talking about is the fact that we're going to start at the house. We'll do a little writing, we'll do a little talking, and then when it gets close to the point to where we should be not loud anymore at the house we're staying at, there's a bunch of bars and stuff near us where we're going to do a little BarCon. So if you're an introvert, like I said, you're totally fine. Come hang out with us and then either go to BarCon or not. Either way, we'll find a spot to hang out and it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
I'm excited. I'd like to... like to do something special while we're out there just for our listeners and our friends and
to create
a good memory.
Yeah. And to be fair, Thursday night at Comic-Con is like the first night everybody's in town and it's really crazy downtown in the Gaslamp. But I've actually never been in the Pacific Beach area. So that might be kind of cool to see what that's like and get everybody at least to get a cocktail or two and hang out or a non-cocktail or whatever you're doing. And it'll be a good time. So
absolutely. Maybe we can dig through our contacts and see if we can find anyone special to come teach us a class or something while we're out there.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Now we're really pie in the sky in it, man. And I like it.
Woo, I love it. I live no other way. Silver lining in every cloud, even if it's clear blue skies.
Wow. Well said, my friend. Well, let's talk about listener feedback, what's going on Discord, social media, and all of that, because that's where we're at right now.
Social media is doing great. Mm-hmm. Keep sharing us and liking us. Join our Discord. Getting new people every day. So I love seeing it grow. Like I said, we got to have that new in-writing channel. So go ahead and jump on over into there. Other than that, I really got no big updates for social media this week.
No, neither do I. I mean, really what it comes down to is like all of these avenues of communicating are what we're about. And again, we're trying to form a community around folks who are writing, want to write, are published, are not published, whatever it is. And we just want to create a space for people to come together and chat about stuff. And some people we know from the Writing Excuses Cruise and some people we don't. And all of it's fine. All of it's great. So thanks for joining us and keep it up and tell your writing group that there's a place they can go. Maybe.
Bring them all.
All right, buddy. So what are we talking about this week?
This week, we are doing part two of Character, Voice, and Distinction. So, Mr. Marshall, we talked about a few different things last week, i.e. one of them being dialect.
Right.
You got anything for this week you want to talk about?
You'd mentioned code switching a bit off mic.
Ooh. What is code switching?
Code switching is... it's what some of us do subconsciously and some of us do consciously, and all of us kind of have to do at some point. So throughout every day, hour to hour sometimes, depending on where you're at. So for example, just to give an example of my day. So I start off at my house, right? And I've got how I speak to my family and my wife and how that goes, right? And then I go to my day job and I'm around teenagers. And granted, I have a very interesting aspect to how I talk to teenagers, but one of my pet peeves with teaching is I'm trying to impart upon the students to be able to have a filter and to be able to walk into my classroom and not have to talk about, if it's a Monday morning, the parties on the weekend. Like, that's not the place for that, right? And it's also not the place to drop F-bombs at your teacher, right? So what is it the place for? Well, I'm saying those examples because all those things have happened to me. What I'm saying is I have a certain way I speak to my students. I have a certain way I speak to my friend around my students, and a totally different way I speak to my friend and colleague away from my students. And when my family, my parents and my brother and sister come into my life, that's a whole different deal, right? So code switching, really what it comes down to is how do you present and speak when you are around certain people, right? And I'm not saying you have to be a different person, but again, I use the example with my students all the time. I say, okay, so if you were to walk into a job interview, would you be dropping F-bombs in the lobby while you're waiting to be called in? You know what I mean? Like, you're dropping F-bombs in my classroom. Can you filter that out? You know what I mean? Is that something that you can actually do as part of it being a human in this world? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Code switching is one of those things where... you have the way you talk professionally, the way you talk with your family, the way you talk with that. Talk to people at formal events versus informal, sports game versus kid soccer game. I really hope they're different, not the same.
It would be nice.
Right? but one thing code switching isn't is you're not going from Jane Austen era to now. You're not going from...
and you're talking about in your writing.
Correct.
Yes.
And I almost want to say, you don't want to go from one dialect to another of two different languages.
And that's as an example is what you're saying. But what you're really saying is your character's voice shouldn't, if your character's voice changes, it should be context-based is what you're saying. It should be, so for example, if you're writing a detective novel, for example, or a... Your character is an undercover agent of some sort, right? I mean, that makes sense to switch that drastically if you're going accents or something like that. But
correct.
If your character is moving from hanging out with their family to hang out with a colleague, there should be a change, right?
Yeah, something noticeable, but not like drastic where it's like right. punch you in the face, like, who is this person?
Right. And that's why it's more, I don't know, code switching is the right term, obviously, outside of, you know, persona change is what I'm getting mm-hmm. at. You yeah. know what I mean? Because it's still the same person. I'm still the same person. And I'm not lying to anybody when I change things. So a dumb example, and I was telling you this off mic, I had a dumb example. So
I'm ready.
And this is leaked into my life a bit too. My dad is notorious. And my family, we have these little quirks where we, and going back to character quirk, right? We have these little quirks where we mispronounce things on purpose because it's just something my dad said once and we've all just kind of done it now. So for a dumb example, my dad, instead of saying breakfast, he says breakfast. Okay. And I find myself for fun in my outside of my dad life saying breakfast sometimes just to see if people notice because it's kind of entertaining to me.
You know what I'm saying? Love that.
And it's little things like that, that I'm just like, okay, I would, if I was walking into my boss's office and I'm talking about getting breakfast, I wouldn't say, oh, I went and got breakfast yesterday, but I would do it with my buddy, right? I would do right. it with you. And if you hear me say breakfast, it's because I'm conscious of it, but it's for me, it's like, it's just one of those little subtle things that makes me happy. You know what I mean? And it's a conscious code switch in that I'm taking something from another aspect of my life where nobody would know about it. And I'm kind of sprinkling it in with a different interaction, if that makes sense.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, another example that I'll give is the way you talk to a police officer when he's pulled you over versus the frustration you express to your friend in the car after you've been pulled over. I mean, they hopefully they're two totally different things. That way you can just be on your way and not have any issues. But that's an example that's actually given a lot that I've heard is the difference between me when I get pulled over to my best friend and me when I get pulled over to the officer. Like, right. they're two different things, and they should be. Like, they're two right. different scenarios altogether.
And for me, like, as someone who has been pulled over several times, which we've talked about off mic, there is never a scenario where I am not saying, okay, officer, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's right. a very, very strict code that I follow when I'm talking to a police officer, especially in a scenario where I've gotten pulled over or there's some sort of deal going on. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Outside of some officers, some police officers in a small town that I know, I see them at the Safeway and I'm like, oh, you know, what's up? And, you know, and that's a different story. But if they pull me over for something, that's a different code altogether, you know?
Oh, for sure. A context matters in those type of scenarios. So one thing I feel like I'm notorious for, and it's not something I do on purpose. I pick up accents when I'm hanging out in different groups, and it's the weirdest thing. It's so weird. I don't know why I do it, how I do it. It's like my way of adapting and trying to fit in subconsciously. Like you throw me in with a bunch of English folk or Irish folk, I'm gone. I'm done. I will have an accent with them. And I will pick up words that they use and only they use, and I will try to use them. And it's subconscious. Like, I just I don't know it until I'm already into it. And then it's like, oh man, like, I'm embarrassing myself and I had no idea why.
Well, and I think that's interesting. Actually, as far as writing goes, that would actually be a fun little character quirk to see how other characters respond to a character that enters a scene where everybody around them is, you know, has a heavy accent and that character doesn't. And then all of a sudden, wait, why is our main character adopting an accent? You know what I mean? And why are people responding to him this way? I think that might be kind of interesting.
I'm just throwing that one out there. That's my kind of code switching I do. And it's an adapting thing. I grew up in a small town in Washington and there was a lot of different cultures. So you kind of had to, like, I was friends with everyone.
Right.
Like, friends with everyone. I picked up a little bit of everything from everyone. So,
but, and we all kind of do this though. When we talk to somebody from another culture, someone who doesn't speak, a good example is someone who doesn't speak English very well and you're trying to communicate with them. Everybody has sort of a way they approach that. And the change in their voice has to do with that for sure. But like also words. I thought it was interesting you said you picked up words from other cultures and stuff. I listen to a lot of Australian podcasts.
This
podcast network I listen to.
Yes.
And like I've started picking up some of these weird little things. And some of it obviously comes from England because it's an English colony or whatever, but mm-hmm. like, or it was. But one of the things, like, I found myself saying this very recently in the last 6 months is like, I don't know, a threat to my kid or something, not a threat, but like, you know, I'm just going to chuck this in the bin. And it's like, I've never said bin in my life, but I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of hours of podcasts from people who say bin every time they mean garbage can. And I'm like, I'm just going to chuck it in the bin. And it's like, well, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because all of a sudden I've incorporated this term because of all of the language I've heard, you know?
So a phrase I've picked up from an Australian friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Are you pissing me? Like,
I like that one.
I heard that and I was like, wait, what? Like, am I whatting you? Did you say, am I pissing you? And they're like, yeah, you never heard it? It's like, no, never. No,
tell me about this.
I've heard, are you shitting me?
Yeah, right,
and that's
right.
A whole other thing, but are you pissing me is even funnier now. And it's, are you joking with me? Are you kidding right. with me? Like, I want to use that so bad.
Right.
But
and
then you have to explain it and stuff like that.
Right. Okay, so let's bring it back to
character distinction. Is there any...
Yeah, character distinction. So what can we do in our writing to demonstrate code switching? This is something we talked about on the boat a little bit. I know with Maurice's dialogue class, he talked about it a little bit. I think we talked about the bar cons a little bit too. But so are there things to do or not to do? Or is there anything that we can throw out there to help our listeners with this a little bit?
I think there's always good and bad examples, in which right now I actually have none. Which is weird, right? Like, I'm always talking. Weird. For me, I would say when it comes to code switching, to make it either a conscious thing in a certain scenario, or if it is a subconscious action, make someone else in the room notice.
Right.
That way it throws a dynamic out there. You're letting your readers know that, hey, this is happening, even if my main character is oblivious to it. Or that you know that, like, hey, like, this person is intelligent enough to understand the difference between a high stress scenario and goofing around with their friends.
Right. And I think I'm gonna say two things. The first thing here is going back to the Scalzi example we were talking about the other week, where that one character, the female character who we really both liked, with the potty mouth.
Yes. Right?
She, although as abrasive as she was, there were moments where you notice, depending on who she was with, that she consciously dialed that back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so if you're starting a character in a place where, for example, we talked about with Maurice, if your character's dropping F-bombs every couple sentences, right? You know that person's got a potty mouth. They have maybe a little volatile, like whatever you're trying to demonstrate. But you put them in a room with a bunch of, you know, higher ups or executives or something like that, or some situation where that person is at risk and they are able to switch. I think that is a good way of not only showing character voice and distinction, but showing code switching and what we do every single day and making that character more accessible and more relatable. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
The other one I was going to say, which I think is super, super important, is the family aspect, right? Mm-hmm. If you jump back and forth, like depending on how your narrative goes, if you have a character who is, let's say the novel starts, in their job, right? And then they go home to visit their mother or their brother, right? And you get to kind of witness that difference between how they relate to their, I don't know, police partner as opposed to their brother. You know what I mean? And just the subtlety and how they speak and their mannerisms. And not only that, like what other people are noticing about how that works. Another way of doing it, and this just came to me, is having someone who is in both situations noticing how this person is changing a little bit. Does that make sense? And not pointing it out, but like just noticing how they are, oh man, they're really kind of cool and down earth when they're with their brother, but oh man, that was really uncomfortable when they were talking to our boss a minute ago or their police partner. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that absolutely does. Definitely see where you're going coming from on that one. Sounds like you may have an experience a time or two with this where it was awkward.
Yeah, it's called every day for the most part. and those of you who are just tuning in, I'm a black man who has grown up in mostly white communities, and it is a constant shifting of where I'm not changing who I am, but who am I speaking to at that time, right? And so I walked. So just for example, today I walked into my boss in the vice principal's office at my school to talk to him about a problem, and then I wasn't super stoked with that. So I went and talked to a colleague who is a friend of mine and talked about that same situation. But I was not the same person as I was in the other office, right? But I'm still talking about the same thing. And then another friend walks up while we're having the conversation, and that person's noticing because they've been in both spots, right?
Right.
My buddy was with me when I was talking to my vice principal, and my buddy was with me when I was talking to my other friend about the same situation. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so what would be really interesting is to see what he sees in me in both contexts, right?
A Tale of Two Marshalls.
Oh, that might be a better episode title. Anyway, so I don't want to rant on this too much, man, but honestly, I mean, it's a constant thing, and it's a thing we're all doing, whether conscious or not. You know, we have to adjust with how we speak and how we move through the world, depending on the environment and depending on what we're walking into and how we feel walking into that moment.
Right.
So if we're looking at our characters, if my main character is super anxious about going to talk to somebody, okay, that has to feel totally different than the situation a scene or two before where they're speaking with their best friend hanging out on a street corner, right?
Yeah.
And so all that has to somehow come through in our narrative, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there should be some subtlety to it, right? There should be, you know, I can use profanity, and I use profanity a lot, right? But I can easily drop the profanity when I'm standing in front of a class talking about something, you know what I mean? Or in front of my mom, because she's not the biggest fan of profanity, you know what I mean? But I'll drop it every once in a while, but not nearly as often as when I'm talking to you, which I'm not 100% sure you're okay with it, but I just do it anyway.
I'm always okay with that. I have to catch myself not to curse on this podcast at times.
Just because I don't know.
It's a natural conversation for me and you to have, and like,
yeah,
we use certain languages, and obviously I'm not dropping any F-bombs, so please do not worry. So one other thing while we're on this one is I come from a military background. I don't care what anyone says, military language, and half the people in there, we're just a bunch of skis balls and lowlives. And the conversations you picture in prison is what the military is talking about probably right now, huddled up in a blanket, freezing their tail off in Alaska right now or something, you know?
Right.
And that's just what it is. Like, you bond over some horrible experiences going through the military. But the way you talk with your buddies while you're out in combat or you're out in training, you're not going home to talk to mama like that.
Of course not.
And I think that's a good thing to understand, is like, your environment is going to determine what type of language you're going to use too.
And for our characters and whoever, you know, our work in progress and everybody else who's listening, a lot of it has to be context-based. If people aren't changing the way they behave based on what is going on, are you really capturing who that character is? If that character doesn't react in certain ways and change their language based on if they're scared or upset or nervous or anxious about who might be listening, that's are you really showing every side of that character?
And it's fine if you do that, but there's real world repercussions for that. And I think you have to have that. If you are not adapting language-wise and what you're saying, how you're saying, and doing some code switching with your characters, there's got to be repercussions, you know. And if you don't have any repercussions, that means you have the same like-mindedness characters throughout the entire story. It could be done, but from where I'm kind of sitting, like, I don't know if I would be interested in reading about the same 10 characters.
No. And you have to have a – and we're talking about dialogue and character distinction, or voice, you know, character voice distinction. And I think it's important because if you, for example, and this is a quick example, in my current work in progress, my main character, okay, so there's a scene where he is hanging out with this girl that he is enamored with or competing with or whatever that might be. The context changes, you know, you hear his thoughts and you see what's going on. You hear them talking to each other, and then all hell breaks loose and they're in the midst of a battle, and that interaction between them and their conversation with the people around them shifts. You know what I mean? And it has to shift with the context for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have time to read a small excerpt right now?
Oh, sure.
So this this plays into a little bit of what we're trying to convey right now when it comes to code switching and whatnot. In this section of Skyward, the main character is talking with a guard. And you can tell just by this short excerpt I'm going to read to you guys, there's a little bit of hesitancy in the character and what they really want to say versus what they actually say. And that's kind of what we're getting at, what your natural reaction would be in a certain scenario versus what it should be due to repercussions.
All right.
Skyward by Brandon Sanderson. He eyed my spear as if wondering how I'd managed to catch 8 rats with such a simple weapon. Well, let him wonder. Finally, he tossed the sack back to me. On your way, coward. Strength. I lifted my chin. Someday, I said. You will hear my name, and tears of gratitude will spring to your eyes as you think how lucky you are to have once assisted the daughter of Chaser. I'd rather forget I never knew you. On your way.
And having read that book, that voice continues the entire way through. And the audiobook is absolutely brilliant.
Is it? See, and I haven't, I've yet to start that one. I just finished Skull's Interdependency Book 2.
Oh, you did?
Yes. So nice. And I thought Book 3 was out, but it's not.
No, it's not, unfortunately. Yeah. I've read both the first two. But Skyward, man. Okay, so the voice in that, the narrator, first person deal, it's super, it's really, Sanderson, obviously, he's very good at what he does, but it's brilliant the way he pulls that off. And yeah, there is that code switch. There is like, you hear the internal voice, you see the interaction with the people around her, and then that continues. And it's back and forth the whole way. And it's really, really well done. And he does a really good job. And if you read the audiobook, the narrator is really, really good as well. And
better than really me?
And that comes through. Yes, better than you.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. I tried. Sorry, Brandon.
No, you did. You did fine. I mean, again.
I don't get paid to do this.
All of us would like to be paid to do it, but we're not.
If anyone is listening out there that wants me to record their audiobook.
Oh, yes.
I do charge. Oh, man.
I hope you charge.
Bad pitch.
Oh, well.
So
anyway, that's a good choice, man.
I really like this because it's like you can tell right away it's like that bothered her.
Mm.
And so the word strength is it's a thought.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, like that was for me, that's the key turning point of going from one mindset to another. And like it's just, I don't know, it's a very, very powerful. Brandon did a great job with it. And shout out to, and I'm sorry if I butcher your last name, Morgan Tashuk, for pointing that out to us through our Discord channel. She brought that up about dialogue and everything like that. And so shout out to Morgan for bringing that up and letting us use that and give her credit for it. So Morgan's awesome. If you see her on Discord.
Morgan is awesome. And you're right, man. And that continues throughout the book. There's these little moments of reminders and thoughts that just pop right through, and then that carries through into the way that character moves the world and then how characters respond to her. And again, she is code switching all the time, and we are always doing this, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I think we did a pretty decent job touching on this. I like the idea of all of these concepts kind of coming back and feeding through as we talk about other things, you know, and I have no doubt we'll be definitely come back to code switching for sure.
It's a great tool to use. It's fantastic thing to get done right. And it's So in my opinion, I think it's fairly easy to use.
And I think, and I don't know if we're, I mean, I think a good tactic in this is to notice when you are consciously changing how you speak around certain people. I know that I'm conscious of it to the point to where I play around with it, as my example earlier. there's other words I won't tell you that there's other things that I say that I shouldn't say that, you know, that I just say for fun because it makes me happy, because it makes me think of my parents or makes me think of my brother or something like that. You know,
there's words I can't use from when I was growing up on air just because it's such a long story to explain what that word means and how we use it and why. Like, and if I use it in public, people look at me weird. Which actually, well, that did happen.
My point is more just, sorry, my point is more just pronunciation of a word just for fun, you know. But what were you saying?
So, I mean, I'll say it, and you can cut this out if you want. But growing up, my dad used the word pee wadding in reference to peeing, right?
Oh, okay.
And I, growing up, I always thought it meant like male body parts,
right?
Right. I used it in the grocery store one time. And I was like, I don't know, 6, 7. I got some of the weirdest looks when like no one else knew what I was talking about. And I was like, awkward.
Right. But on that note, it's a made up word, obviously.
Totally right? Made up.
And made up words are, and like I said, I didn't even tell you about half the words I could, but a lot of the words we use in my family, some of them are made up. And some of them are just... And if somebody looks at you sideways, that's fine. But I can look over at my brother and be like, yeah, we know what we're talking about. You know what I mean? And there's something there I think is important. And if you can carry that through your story, where there's not inside joke, but an inside speak, you know, a communal code switch, if you will, you know, like where you and a buddy or you and your character and a family member can bond over something that they've gone through. I think that's super important. If you can carry that through a story, that makes your characters way more believable and relatable, right?
Oh, for sure. And my brother's a weekly listener, so if I don't get a text about P-Wadden when you're listening to this episode, I'm disowning you for the next 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard 10. It's a hard 10.
Max security, baby.
I love it. That's good, man. All right. So what else we got? Anything else we want to bring up this week?
I don't know. We talked about code switching a lot more than I thought, but I like it. And I hope everything that we had to say kind of brings some light to what's going on with your guys' lives and what you're doing, and then brings the attention to your characters and if that's happening, and be more conscious about it. It's a tool I think most of you are probably already using, but it's a tool you can use and know when you're using it to bring effectiveness to your writing.
Right. And I think the important part is using it consciously in order to make your characters distinct, which is really what we focused on this month, is character distinction through dialogue. And this is our last episode of March. So we're going to get into a new topic next month.
One full month.
I think we're doing well. And I think it's important to end on something where it's very relatable in that just be conscious of how you move through the world. And I tell my students this all the time. I say, look, you're moving through the world in this way, but this is how other people are seeing you, right? So how do you move through the world? How do you speak to others? And how do you relate to others that are like you or family? And how do you switch back and forth in different contexts? I think all this is really important to keep in mind when we're writing dialogue, especially, but when writing our characters.
People judge you off social media too. So the way you are on social media, that might be the way everyone always sees you. Double-edged sword.
It's the social media aspect is something I really try to get across to teenagers, is that is going to follow you around forever.
I've gone through and I've deleted stuff where I felt it was controversial. Not because it was like, I don't agree with what I said, but it costs too much friction. Like, do not like Facebook arguments. I don't like the Twitter mob that comes after you because they don't like what you say. Like, right. I just don't do with that anymore. So my social media has really toned back on especially political stuff.
No, especially that.
I mean, like, I don't know, like, politics, who cares anymore, right?
And I'm with you, man. And I honestly, I like my social media to be, I don't want to get into that, but really what I'm trying to say is social media will follow you around forever. Yeah. And James Gunn is a perfect example. 10 years later, he got fired off of one of the most successful Marvel franchises because of some tweets he made a decade ago, right? Do you want that to follow you around? And is that the kind of code switching you want? Is your online persona you? Yeah. And if it's not, is that, and this is something we talked about on the boat with Dong Wan, is that, okay, how do you want to be perceived on social media? That's completely under your control. But if you're retweeting, you know, racist tweets, for example, or you are making controversial comments every other word, believe it or not, man, coming from management, like, I've managed people and early days of the internet. And when somebody would bring in a resume, this is before like just Googling someone, but I would just look them up on the internet or find their Friendster page. And if they were all pictures of them passed out in a gutter somewhere, like, and, oh, didn't make it to work today, I'm not going to hire that person.
No.
You know what I mean? And do you want that following you around? You know what I mean?
Well, it's like, you always see these stories of people like, oh, I got the job, but my boss is a, and then all of a sudden the boss is like, hey, I'm on social media too, and you're fired. Don't bother coming in.
You're fired.
And it's like, oh, like that happens. That is real stuff. And, yeah. You know, I hate to see someone be turned away from being published because they have a bad online presence. Exactly. I mean, and going back to the James Gunn thing and stuff like that, how many different people can we name in the spotlight that have had things resurface from 10, mm-hmm. 15 years ago?
And this is recent because that's about as long as social media has been around.
People only bring this about to hurt you and to stop you. So do not give them the ammunition. Like, it's simple as that. And if you've got to go through and delete a whole bunch of old stuff, go and do it. Like, who cares at that point? If it's old, it's old. Like, maybe you don't think that way anymore or whatnot. But I just say, don't give people ammunition.
Not you, get rid of it.
Take you down. Yeah, no, for exactly. Sure.
All right, man. This has been Just Keep Writing, a podcast for writers by writers to keep you writing. I am at Darth Pops on Twitter, and Nick is at Bright Inks. You can find the show on iTunes and your favorite podcatchers, so like and share this show with your writing community. If you'd like to share or discuss anything we talked on the show, the last week's task, or whatever you have going on, you can post it on our Discord channel, Facebook page, or send it to me. I am Marshall at MarshallCarr.com or Nick at NicholasBright at BrightInks.org. You can find our writing and the show notes for each episode on our websites, MarshallCarr.com and BrightInks.org. Lastly, if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is Patreon.com/JustKeepWriting. And you can find us there and give us a couple bucks an episode and help us do what we do, and we can help you.
You've got the homework done. You have a challenge up ahead of you. Now just keep writing.